Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, and this is Abe Thompson coming to you from the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs as we enter into a discussion here on the New Cyber Frontier with our very special guest, a recognizable voice here on the program. His name is Mr. Chris Gorog. Hello, sir.
Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a wonderful day here in Colorado Springs. So kind of exciting to talk with you about some very quickly developing things here in the area of blockchain development.
And it's weird that we kind of both get the chat on the same show.
Yeah, you get to be the guest on your own show, man.
Exactly. So it's a good thing that I'm glad we brought you on, Abe. You've been a big help here and a good voice for the New Cyber Frontier. First of all, I wanted to thank you for that and some other people, that voices that you'll hear soon coming on as well. So
looking forward to that as well. The gift of gab is not limited to just me, thankfully. So some great success here in Colorado just recently. Our local senator, Lambert, was able to get that blockchain bill passed, and apparently you might have something to do with the progress there. But before we talk about that, you're representing now what's called the Blockchain Development Community. You guys have a website. It's blockchaindevelopmentcommunity.com. And of course, you know, you go to the website, it says Blockchain Development Community in Colorado Springs. So talk to me first about this local development effort, community effort, and then maybe it's okay to brag a little bit about the progress we've seen legislatively.
Yeah, so we started this after the legislation, kind of as most people aware, if you listen to the podcast, we've had some guests on that were involved with the legislation, and on the technical portion, I helped do a lot of the writing for that so that we could have something that made sense, that we could put the community behind. And as part of that, we started an effort to say, we need to put into action and actually have the pieces that the state needs for this. So we got a couple developers together. It started out with like 4 or 5 people in the room. And lately, there's been like 30 people in our group meetings, and I don't even know how to handle it all right now at this point. But there's a lot of excitement around this effort to, you know, develop and implement the base pieces of what's needed in the state of Colorado to match this legislation.
Sure.
But it is a blockchain effort, and we're engaging all different types, and you can see from that blockchain development community. We have, I think, 6 universities, including SecureSet, Colorado Woo-hoo. Tech, University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. University of Colorado Boulder, Webster University, and even Colorado State.
Nice.
People from those different, that just see the value and, hey, we need to come together. We have the backing of the state. Let's make something that works and get something for everybody to use. And I think it's really going to be exciting.
Sure. And so what's it been like sort of merging this community development effort with academia? Challenges, successes?
You know, I think we started it as a club at Colorado mm-hmm. Tech, mm-hmm. and academia's just kind of been out of the way. This is literally off to the side.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's the only thing that we're really using is the space. We have some meetings at Colorado Tech. Mm-hmm. We have some other places. We'll have some here at SecureSet.
Sure.
And just try to bounce around town to different institutions. But whoever's supporting it, we're not looking for the universities to be driving it.
Sure.
We want to move faster than I feel that universities can.
Yeah, and we're familiar with that, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think the drive of the opportunity and the excitement of it is moving it much faster than sure. I even thought it would move.
Sure, and you know, it's sort of a composite of the whole, and so honestly, that's kind of what you'd want, right? You'd want it to be even more effective than the sum of its, you know, the individual parts. You want the sum of its parts, and that's where this, you know, for lack of a better term, congealed brilliance can uh-huh. lead to some great stuff. Let's take an opportunity real quick to go and hear from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
And we're back here at SecureSet, live in our studios here for the new Cyber Frontier, with a very eminent guest, our very own host, Mr. Chris Gorog. And we're talking here today about some community development effort in the area of blockchain. And Chris was just kind of laying out how the consortium has been built thus far, and kind of who some of the players are, and also kind of focused on a desire not to limit yourself specifically to academia or to a corporate, simply to private sector, but just to all comers who are about the advancement of this technology and its usage. So I'd earlier kind of wanted to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit more about, you know, once the legislation came into play, you know, you got going, but how did we get there?
So this work, this effort, the last two or three years, I've been working on my dissertation. Mm-hmm. And my dissertation work is in blockchain for governance. So how do we adopt it to society for an open visibility of both, you know, the people that are involved, but at the same time maintaining their privacy, yeah. while at the same time making it open and visible to what the government's doing with our private information and whatnot. Sure. So it's how to bridge that gap and make the best of both worlds, focusing on individual privacy.
Right.
In so many ways, as we start looking at this, it's disruptive to big data, big industry that relies on visibility and having access to your data. So we almost keep that under wraps, because we do get that resistance immediately when it comes out as, oh, what are you doing? You're hiding what we need to keep our business model going. But we're giving the power to the people
sure.
for this effort. So I was approached back October last year, 2017, by Senator Lambert when he heard me speak on it, and said, hey, can we write this into a bill that makes sense for the state? And that's where it started. Mm-hmm. So, and where we are today is just an offshoot of that, where we've actually, instead of making an open source project, we've made what we call a community source
sure.
project.
Sure.
So we actually have time tracking for all the people involved, and the organization, whenever the product is available, licensing usage will be based on how much time is contributed by each
sure.
person.
Sure. Well, and you know, the privacy concern, of course, way out in front. Now, you talk about potentially some folks out there being highly resistant, but I mean, the most disruptive thing I think in the industry right now is happening in Europe. I mean, all these big companies that want to have any footprint anywhere else, pretty much. That touches Europe has just had their, you know, their gut punch.
Yeah.
You know, the GDPR has mandated that anybody touching business with, is, you know, initially European entities, but I think there's going to be rest of world quickly behind that. So that's already kind of happening. What's your thought on?
Well, this is the enabler for GDPR.
Sure.
This is Excellent. Right now GDPR is sitting there as a big requirement, and as an organization with all kinds of threats and all kinds of fines, but to go into a company and say, how have you violated any of our requirements? They don't have that power.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what we're putting together does.
Sure.
Well, it opens up that visibility piece into the organizations, into the government, into the, and connects that with the private individuals.
Accountability seems to be a great word there.
Accountability.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of consumers, customers, et cetera. And honestly, if, you know, once this gets off the ground, your ability to support even some of the nonprofit sector, right? They're going to appreciate that. Because think about the nonprofit sector. What's their big protection point? It's donor data, right? Mm-hmm. And all those other things. And so I think that that will probably, the ability to have a community-sourced, accountability-based approach, I think will maybe lend us some donor confidence for those folks.
Yeah. So if you step back and look at what does this do as a big picture, mm-hmm. it enables trust.
Yeah.
So trust is something that we've lost in the digital world. Mm-hmm. Why is everybody going to like Amazon and the big companies that do online instead of boutiques? When the web first started, it had all these boutiques. That's all you had, right?
Yep.
And then now there's a couple of really big boutiques like Amazon, and that's all we use. And they're killing everybody else because we know we can trust them.
Right. Why though?
Why? Because they're big. Because they take care of us. It's in your mind.
Sure.
Trust is something that we decide as people on an individual basis.
Oh, definitely.
And it is transactions done over time. And we just associate this person's had our best interests for the last year. This company's done right by us this many times out of how many times we've done business with them.
Sure.
And we make a trust relation.
Good.
A blockchain governance program enables that trust relation with individuals, with small parties, with boutiques. It'll change the game.
Yeah, brings them back, honestly. I mean,
exactly.
I don't know if there are too many out there other than maybe some large company CEOs that might be secretly listening here, but I mean, we love that. We love the mom and pop. We love what America was built on. And I think if we can bring those folks back, we only benefit. Look at the cybersecurity industry in particular. I think the future is in the smaller mid-sized companies. And mm-hmm. you know, I think about that all the time with regard to my students here at SecureSet. I want opportunities to pop up all over the place. I want them to have unique experiences mm-hmm. and more opportunity to get out there in the workforce and do this.
Yeah. You know, I always tell my students how exciting of a time we're in, because if you think about blockchain is making basically like an operating system that could go worldwide.
Yeah.
It can get out of the computer. It can keep track of where everything's at worldwide. This is like the onset of an operating system.
Sure.
In 10 years, there will be as many things, applications running globally on blockchain as there is on computers now.
Sure.
It's it's not a new technology, it's a new thought process. Everything in there has been around for years.
Oh, sure.
But it's a new way of thinking about it.
So, you know, not to belabor some of the negatives, but just to address, what types of resistance are we still seeing to blockchain? Is it more based on a lack of familiarity, or are there other types of resistance that we're seeing right now?
You know what? I was at RSA a couple of a month and a half ago, I forget what it was now, and they had the cryptologist panel, the leading experts in cryptology from all over the world, sat up in a panel and talked about, and blockchain came up, and they didn't have much to say about it.
Interesting.
It was kind of off their radar, off to the side.
Tragic.
And then I had an opportunity to converse, and I want to get him on the show, Bruce Schneier, sometime, with him directly, and he seemed to have little regard for blockchain. Hmm. Almost when I mentioned I was doing it, he was like, it was a disappointing look, and I was
really?
Like, wow, I was surprised. But I think that the technologists, the pure cryptographic technologists, mathematicians, are leaning away because they see it as an application. It's not anything new.
Sure.
As I was saying, it's been around for years.
Right.
It's a new way of thinking about it, and really what we're doing is matching the business to cybersecurity.
Yeah, yeah.
For the first time.
Well, maybe I got to go back and read Sun Tzu. He's probably talked about blockchain in there somewhere. I'll just have to kind of figure it out. So that's interesting to hear in terms of some of the 50-pound brains. When you put yourself in the shoes of the community, the average consumer, you hear a community-sourced project. Mm-hmm. How do you convince me out of my concerns about it's not Amazon, it's not yada yada. Convince me that community sources is going to be safe.
So
Or safer.
Safer. And I have a problem with the better, worse security, safer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
the,
yeah.
The categorization of...
Our consumers still...
Classification yeah. of... Everybody wants to know, is that secure? Or is that less secure? Is it more secure? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which products are more secure and less secure? Let's rank them. And there's it's all just opinion.
Yeah.
What we're making is the capability to make that ranking legitimate.
Empirically. Yeah, so breaking the paradigm.
Exactly. We're making visibility, accountability, traceability, identification, uniformity between different applications in cybersecurity. And it gives us a way to start rating those individual things that everybody wants to rate qualitatively by saying, oh yeah, this product has worked for me and it capped. What do we have? We have somebody says, oh, buy my antivirus because it stops things that other people didn't. Yep. Well, the other one stopped things that yours didn't. And it's all qualitative as to which one sure. stopped what and what signature they caught and what they didn't catch. But yet, everybody wants to have a ranking system.
Sure. Well, it sounds like we have potentially a quantitative standard to take to the Better Business Bureau on some of this. Let's go hear from our sponsor.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
And we're back here at SecureSet here in Colorado Springs on the new Cyber Frontier with our host and our guest.
And our host,
Mr. Chris Gorog. We're having a comfortable conversation here about blockchain technology and community development therein. And we were just having this really interesting piece, and you've kind of really piqued my interest in how we can now have a quantitative standard to determine, quote unquote, whether something is more or less secure. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we may have some direction there. Talk about what makes it quantitative versus qualitative.
Absolutely. So blockchain gives us containers, all right? So imagine your food, if you make a big bowl of spaghetti, right? It's in a big bowl, it's all mixed up. But now let's take that spaghetti and put it into little containers that are each a meal.
Now I'm hungry, thank you.
And each digestible in a small pattern. Blockchain enables taking the things we already do, making a positive approach to cybersecurity in all the aspects by containerizing it. So everything we already do, all the transactions, all the network traffic, all the data storage, if we just put them into containers that then we could put individualized privacy on each container, we change the game.
Yeah, and that puts it into, quote unquote, a bite-sized piece for someone that's trying to make a decision about maybe going to a community-sourced entity such as yourselves to do a project. So let's talk about that for a second. I'm a small business. I'm an entity that needs your services, needs the services of this community source gang. How would you pitch to me what you could do for me in terms of a community-sourced blockchain solution?
So I would, right now, just like with any blockchain application, it's early phase.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This is a design in.
Yep.
When we talk about we're making the containers, we're not even to the point where we're dividing up the spaghetti and the food yet.
Sure. There you go again.
That is the individual applications that will come later. We're making the capability of containerizing at this level.
Sure.
We're making that base piece that is needed by the state, needed for all the different organizations, and needed to basically... at this point, we're even trying to solve some of the problems that we have intrinsically with blockchain, especially as a cryptocurrency.
Sure.
Where making an entirely new animal.
So, you know, people out there listening, obviously you and I are sitting here in Colorado and this has direct and immediate relevance for us, but I think any citizen of the world is going to be interested in, you know, kind of what their government's needs are. And so let's talk a little bit about the state of Colorado. What were some of the needs Colorado saw that drove this, you know, and that got us to where we are at this point with the legislation?
Okay, so whenever I was first approached by the legislator, they said, what do you think about this? Was our first conversation. Medicaid in the state of Colorado, they did an audit and they had $100 million of mismanagement that they found with an audit. Now, apparently there's no one that has any oversight, no big brother watching this, no anything. And it's just kind of run rampant and they've been associated to like a bucket full of water that has holes all through it, and people keep putting new holes in it every year, and they're just trying to keep more water in to keep it at a certain level.
Sure.
And they just have to write a bigger check and a bigger check and a bigger check every year. And their thoughts were, hey, if we look at what could visibility in all these transactions give us by putting blockchain into this one program, what could it save from that $100 million in mismanagement?
Wow.
And then how do we take and use that money that we assess that we're losing as investment into new technology and the decision to add distributed ledger technology into this program?
Chris, those are real numbers. Those are real numbers. Yeah.
And we've identified over 30 programs in the state that are candidates for this.
So the good news is for us two old sailors here is we still may have a chance for that knee replacement down the road, you know, instead of getting the no that so many people often get. I think it's a very real thing for me when I hear about, you know, Medicaid and whatnot with my parents and the stage they're in now. And, you know, my dad's been denied treatment because they consider he's just, you know, too old, you know, and to take some better control of, you know, quote unquote, sacred cows, kind of like that. And then to reinvest as well for better implementation in the future, that's good news.
Yeah, like, and you know, I wanted this to kind of expand on that. The mismanagement wasn't theft, fraud, per se.
No.
It's just transactions being billed back and forth 10 times because, I didn't know if I billed that, so I billed it again. Oh, I got it twice, now I have to pay it back. And all these back and forth transactions were a big part of the mismanagement. Just things that could be made more effective through visibility.
And there's a lot of
accountability.
There's a lot of patriotic government workers out here, including you and I, who've, and I don't think any of us would say that we haven't seen, you know, stuff fall on the floor. You know, the data that could have been better used, principles that could have been better applied, capabilities that it could have been more efficiently, you know, implemented. So yeah, I think that those things are all, you know, we're not sitting out here saying that, you know, there's our state workers here in Colorado are, you know, have been insidious in any way. It's just a reality of big government operations.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And giving visibility into the bureaucracy at a search.
Sure. Great.
Changes the game.
Great. Talk to me about how this community-sourced capability could provide opportunity for younger folks or new cybersecurity folks entering the industry.
So just think about what I said, 30 programs.
Yeah.
Just in the state. And I mentioned one.
Yeah.
It's not a small program.
No.
The other 30 are just as big.
Wow.
Each one of these is a startup.
Sure.
And that's just in one state. That's before it expands to other states.
Wow.
That's before it expands to other countries. That's before it expands to the business world. And every company needs the same type of transaction or operations.
So you CTU students and you SecureSet students out there listening, that's opportunity. Take note, right?
Yeah.
And any of our other you know, future or budding cybersecurity professionals, that's profound. Mm-hmm. So would you mind train spotting at a couple of the other programs that come to mind?
Real estate records.
Okay.
So all the transactions for real estate.
Yeah.
Business. All the transactions for business ownership, business records.
Okay. Fiduciary type and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Food stamps, welfare, DMV records. Let me see what else. But just they go across the state.
Oh, yeah.
All these.
Yeah.
Identity and access management.
Sure.
Like you said, there was the list goes on.
Well, you mentioned DMV, and of course I start to go into convulsions because I think back to as a sailor, even though I'm a Colorado kid, I was stationed in California. That is one completely dysfunctional entity, and boy, wouldn't it be nice to bring some order and functionality to something so big and out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I've been pretty pleased actually with, you know, Colorado's implementation, but yeah, it's, again, bureaucracy.
Yeah, tracking controlled substances was another
one. Yeah. Can't imagine that would be an issue in Colorado. Wow.
Yeah, we do have a little bit of that here.
Yes, indeed, unfortunately.
But so many, and that's, like I said, just the state programs.
Yeah.
And once the base packaging, this blockchain piece comes together, and literally what we're doing is making our own consensus model and a new animal that works for the state governance process.
Yeah. Sure.
That has the ability to have the licensing built into it.
Yeah, for sure. So next steps, you're building the containers. Clarify for our audience then what you think some of the next milestones are that we should look for in this development.
Okay, so first of all, we're developing,
mm-hmm.
but we don't just have developers. We have a development group, we have a business group, we have a training group.
Sure.
We have an operations group. We need all types here, and we have, the need and the ability to join in anybody that wants to.
Sure.
Don't come in and start talking about cryptocurrency. We're not doing cryptocurrency. It's a new animal. It works for governance, for the needs of organizing and visibility,
sure.
of accountability, but it's not a currency.
Right.
And that's the first thing when anybody comes through the door is like, we're not talking about cryptocurrency.
It's a capability.
There's no mining. There's no wasted energy that we're working on here.
Right.
Get that out of your mind is the first thing I tell anybody that walks
through
the door.
Good.
We're changing the game.
Okay. Yeah. Then, that's important too, because instead of thinking quick buck, you want people to think strategy, you want people to think long term, you also want people to think community. Community is not just some word you're throwing around. There's a sense of altruism to this. I think we all know that for the cybersecurity industry to succeed, we need all of us kind of in this game. And there's plenty of work. Not that we're discounting the value of good old competition in American business, but there's plenty of work to go around. Let's get some solutions going together.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the thing is where we've spent too long where cybersecurity puts the no in innovation, right? We're actually turning this around and saying now we have a way to make cybersecurity a return on investment opportunity.
Well, and you really capture something that so many of us have seen and dealt with. I mean, I think of how I get my students ready to go into CEOs' offices to, convince them to make expenditures in cybersecurity, and they get the rolling eyes and, oh, this isn't a profit-bearing entity, whatever. And of course, even in my work in the government, there was a lot of times where I was the guy that had to say no, because some certain capability wasn't ready to be released and you couldn't implement it in the battlefield, et cetera, et cetera. So I really appreciate an opportunity to turn that tide, in an appropriate way, that we're not selling ourselves down the road or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest part, especially with seasoned cyber people that walk into the group. And they see that not only is this something we're talking about, but when they get into what we're doing, we can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like,
it's
a game changer.
You can't do that. I kind of, my heart skipped a beat. Wow, I didn't know it could do that anymore.
Yeah, so, we're wanting to go more global,
mm-hmm.
but right now our work is being done locally, and we're putting the pieces together to track time, contribution, have different contributors, but we will go,
sure.
once that's kind of stable, we will take it to the point where we can, every week I get 5 or 10 people say, contact me on LinkedIn, say, hey, how can I get involved with this? And I'm like, hold on,
okay.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, and you're already seeing it, you've implicitly called people to action because they're jumping and chomping at the bit, contact you on LinkedIn. But I see one of the potential calls to action is to prevent blockchain in and of itself from becoming a buzzword, from becoming a fad. What do we do to ensure that it doesn't pass as a cliche concept, but that we really educate folks?
You know, that has been kind of why I said stop thinking about cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about Bitcoin and mining, that is one application for blockchain. Mm. Blockchain is a way of making a forensic trail of data.
Sure.
Where that's applicable is in so many places. Though cryptocurrency was the first application, it's not the strongest.
Well, definitely not.
There's going to be much more attractive and more globally seeding applications than cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
It just happened to be the first one,
right.
And it happens to be the proof that everybody sees because it's the first time where we took the no out of innovation with crypto and cybersecurity.
Yeah. Well, and forensic.
We can do it in a lot of ways.
Sure. Well, and forensic is no throwaway word in this industry. I mean,
exactly.
Everybody and their brother and their best friend's cousin and their uncle are very interested in the preservation of data and the ability to track. And so this is a huge piece. We've been speaking with our host and our guest, Mr. Chris Gorog, here on the New Cyber Frontier. I'm Abe Thompson from SecureSet here in Colorado Springs, and Chris, I just got to tell you, this was a fun conversation, just kind of sitting here and getting a chance to just dialogue on some very exciting future.
Yeah, and it's fun for me too because I'm usually interviewing everybody else, but we have so much going on, but I can't just come out and brag about my stuff. I had to, you know, kind of have a conversation with you.
And I coaxed it out of him, folks. So. No, but it's truly worthy of speaking about. Again, we've used the word on the show before, pioneers, and again, this is just such a pioneering endeavor, and so proud to be a part of it. So this is the New Cyber Frontier. I'm Abe Thompson, and with my guest here, Chris Gorog, signing off.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
Have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.